Hey, it's the fucking gutter. We're back. First gutter of the week. We're back at very, very high intensity gutter. It's a high pressing gutter. It's a gutter that's going to bring you press resistance from all corners of the studio. Actually, no, we're Zooming this. Gareth and Harriet are in the studio. Harriet Pryor, Gareth Roberts, and Ian Ryan is in his house. We're going to do fullback and defender. Tony's laughing at me. Don't laugh at me. You're throwing me off my stroke. We're going to do fullback and defender chat, and then we're going to move on to some midfielder topics. So let's start with the news that broke yesterday as we were recording about Liverpool putting Nico Williams up for sale. No sooner had he been starred in the Euros, well, been run ragged by an Italian right winger a little bit, but being on telly for Wales, then Liverpool were telling the journalists like David Lynch that Nico Williams is attracting interest from Premier League clubs this summer and is keen on the idea of leaving for regular football. LFC would be willing to do business if they receive an offer of around £10 million. Well, we've all been going, well, at least we've got Nico Williams to cover if anything happens to Trent, except we might not have. Part of me thinks, yeah, we can do better than Nico Williams as cover for Trent. And part of me thinks, I know it's COVID, but £10 million isn't a lot. It doesn't give you a big budget to go out and buy another Nico Williams, does it?
No. And I think, you know, there's been talk about potentially Oxlade-Chamberlain doing some minutes there, which I can kind of see why people would say it. I don't think it's ideal. And I think, you know, it does feel like maybe we're cutting corners a little bit, but I suppose the club might say, well, I've got to try and cut the cloth accordingly for certain areas. But I don't think you want to see a scenario, Rob, where you're asking a James Milner, for instance, who's 36 in January, to be doing minutes at right back for you. I don't think you want to do that. I think if you're asking Joe Gomez to do something similar, I'd have concerns because of the long-term injuries that he's had. And I don't think it's an ideal scenario for Joe Gomez to suddenly find himself doing shuttles up and down the right-hand side, given that the history he's had with injuries. I think the rigours of that would cause him problems, to be honest. Now, that's not to say you'll have to do loads there, because you'd expect Trent to play a large portion of the season, if fit. But I think, you know, the England injury that he had, you know, proves he is human. He can miss games. You know, he's got a 6 to 8 week injury there. So you would be concerned if he came out of the Liverpool team for a similar amount of time. And as I say, there's talk about Oxlade-Chamberlain potentially could solve a little bit of a problem. And I know Chamberlain's been in squads maybe more often than people think last season, but he wasn't really playing. And if you're not playing football matches, it significantly reduces the chance of you getting injured. So there's no guarantees that Chamberlain would be fit, because we know he misses large parts of previous seasons. So it's a little bit of a worry, but it seems from all the noises you're hearing, Robert, it's important to caveat it by saying, you know, the local journos, with the greatest of respect, haven't always been in the know in recent years, because the club are probably feeding them certain things. So you don't always get it all right, but it does seem to kind of be that there's talk about, you know, not doing something of fullback and just asking Trent to go again and then maybe filling in where we can.
Yeah, Harry, there were reports from the sometimes but very often not reliable Gazette in Italy that Napoli were eyeing a loan for Kostas Tsimikas. Apparently, Tsimikas has never convinced Jurgen Klopp since joining. James Pearce's piece in The Athletic contradicted this, and he said Klopp is counting on him. But it's another marker that our cover at right back is an issue. And as Ian says, our cover at fullback's an issue. And as Ian said, we are literally seeing Trent out for 6 weeks here. Are Liverpool in danger of just being a little bit complacent with both positions?
Yeah, I think with Nico Williams, I wasn't entirely surprised about the reports. I think that's sort of been coming for some time. But the thing is, I don't think he was ever seen as the viable option, that if Trent was out for a longer period of time, that he'd be able to come in and do the same job Trent does, just purely because the job that Trent does for us is so unique that no player that's good enough to be his second would actually be able to do the job that he does. So I think it's a bit of a difficult one. And, you know, Williams, I think, has only played 6 Premier League games for us. So it's not like we're losing someone that's been playing all the time when Trent's been out. So yeah, it's an interesting one, but for me, I think, you know, I'd rather, if they're going to get rid of Williams and they're going to bring in another young player, it doesn't really make sense. So for me, it probably would be a case of putting Gomez there when I'd feel more comfortable having Gomez there when we needed him. And hopefully that wouldn't be too often. But as we saw last season, we can't really predict how often that will be. And Trent is human and will get injuries like the rest of them. So, you know, I think Gomez would do a job, and then the Yeah, I think with the whole fullback thing with Tsimikas, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think last season it was difficult because our back four was so disrupted that he didn't often want to take Robertson out and give him the chance, because Robertson was the only one that seemed to be reliable and seemed to make that back four stable. He was the only one that was consistently there, you know, Trent as well. But, you know, there was so much change in the back four, he didn't want to just throw Tsimikas in to give Robertson a break. It was a case of just Robertson going again and again. So I don't think he'll get rid of him. I think Klopp does see his value and sees him as a bit more of a project player. And I think next season we probably will see a bit more of him. I mean, it's difficult for us to judge at the moment what he's like and the kind of player he is, because we really haven't seen him enough. But I don't think that signing another fullback is going to be a priority for Liverpool this summer.
Look, I mean, imagine if Nico does go, Gareth. I mean, we're left with the injury-prone Gomez playing out of position, the ageing James Milner playing out of position, the untried Tsimikas possibly covering, and there were reports that 17-year-old Connor Bradley from the academy might be considered an option. You know, are these the kind of, is this the kind of cover that's going to do for the team that's going to take on Pep Guardiola's Man City?
Yeah, it doesn't look great, does it, when you read it out like that? And, you know, Connor Bradley, you know, is a 17-year-old kid, 3 years behind, you know, the lad who were allegedly selling here in Nico Williams. So if we're worried about Nico Williams' cover as Trent, then shouldn't we be even more worried about the idea that a 17-year-old lad might play? I mean, fair enough, he got a cap for Northern Ireland coming on against Malta. But he's one of them where he looks like a kid. Do you know what I mean? You look at him play footy and you think he looks like a young lad playing footy. He doesn't look like a man ready to step up to play in the Premier League. You know, like when you were watching Curtis, for instance, like Curtis was miles off everyone else when he was playing under 23s. It was an absolute piece of piss for him. You watch this lad and he looks decent. Do you know what I mean? And all the talk is that he's a prospect. But the idea that, you know, you're starting the season with him or he's getting anywhere near the first team anytime soon doesn't look particularly realistic. I just wonder, you know, there's lots of balls being juggled, isn't there, about the squad, about who might come in, who might go out, and there's lots of talk around it all. I wonder about maybe considering it from Nico's stance, whereby he might be looking at it and saying, okay, you know, 25 appearances for Liverpool now, 17 starts across two seasons in all comps, only 12 appearances in the league, been at the club since he was six, signed a new five-year deal, August 2020. He's got two games there at the Euros. I think he's done all right, Nico. I'm one of the few Reds, it seems, in the world that thinks he's actually all right. You know, there's a lot that seems to not rate him, say he's naive, say he makes too many mistakes. I say he's 20 years old and he's done all right, personally. I just wonder whether him, his agents, his family, whatever it may be, think, you know, our stock, your stock, son, is all right now. And you might get a move. You might get a move while your name's in the spotlight. You literally said there, Rob, at the start, you know, he's on the telly and next minute he's being linked to a move. I mean, it may well be that kind of thought behind it. And I just wonder whether with Klopp, and we've discussed this before, he doesn't seem to like to go toe-to-toe with anyone. And what I mean by that is if someone expresses an interest in going, he tends, it seems to me, to say okay then most times, because he doesn't want to sort of stand in the way. So I wonder whether it's more that, but it does leave us worryingly short. And, you know, I seen the thing about Chamberlain being a possibility. I dug into his career before just to have a look, and he's classed as playing 9 minutes for Arsenal at right back. I know he's played on the right, he's played right mid, you know, and played a few more games there. He's played right winger as well. But yeah, 9 minutes for Arsenal as a sub against PSG in 2016 doesn't say loads of experience on that side. I'm sure he'd be all right. He's a clever player and everything else. It's more of a fitness issue. But yeah, it's a bit mad, as you say, Rob, I think, when we're talking about a Liverpool that we hope is coming back to the table for the top titles next season, the title, the English Premier title, the European Cup, that kind of thing. That's where we want to see Liverpool going. And then all of a sudden, we're talking 17-year-old lads covering our fullback. And if one goes, I can't see the other going, by the way. You're not going to sell two standing fullbacks in one summer. That would make no sense whatsoever. So I'd be inclined on Tsimikas to be falling down more on what Pearce said than what the random media publication said that you quoted that I've already forgot. But yeah, Nico's just interesting. I think it feels a little bit like, you know, who is in form. I think, you know, there were several Premier League, was it Leeds, Southampton? Yeah, Leeds, Southampton, Villa and Burnley all said to have expressed a genuine interest rather than a blag one. So, you know, that being the case, if he's going there and sort of they're genuinely saying you're in the team or you're a lot closer than you are when you're at Liverpool, then I almost wonder, well, Klopp says, okay, well, you've been here a long time, you've come through the system, we can make some money on you, it makes sense, go on, son. And it will be a gamble. But, you know, Trent, I would say, you know, yes, he's injured and he's going to be injured at the start of the season in all likelihood. But he's not, touch wood, injury prone. He's not someone who's consistently in the treatment room up to now. He's been playing sort of 30, 40 games every season since he broke through. So maybe that comes into the thinking on this one as well, that more often than not, Trent will play. I think when we're looking at all this as well, by the way, that we're all, and maybe Klopp and his team are better at it than all of us, we're all emotionally fucked by what happened last season with injuries. Like we almost think that's going to happen again, and you've got to have seven players in every position because what happens if six get injured? I mean, that was just freakish last season. So I think you have to draw the line somewhere on how many people you need to cover a position.
Okay. I'm not going to do that, though, because that means you don't buy players, Gaff. What the fuck are you talking about, man? Jesus, blindsided me there with that logic. I'm gonna put a left field proposition to you, Mr. Ryan. What if we actually go large on buying for right back? What if, right? What I'm going to say is, there's a couple of lads on the market who I think I'd have in a heartbeat. One who I've only heard of in the last week, but still. Tarek Lamptey, because I think he's sensational and he can play right back and right wing. And there's Ashraf Hakimi from Inter Milan, who is who's torn it up, apparently. I think he was at Dortmund 2 years ago. Chelsea really badly wants him. And Inter are quoting a price of 68 million. It always amazes me about footballers. You hear about literally one of the biggest transfer fees in the history of the game. I've never fucking heard of him a week or so ago. But anyway, he must be good. So, but interesting about Ashraf is that he can play right back, he can play left back, and he can apparently play on the wing. Can't we all these days? But I suddenly thought, if you went large on a Tarek Lamptey, say, or an Ashraf Hakimi, or the next equivalent, you know, Alphonso Davies or equivalent, you could give yourself the option of playing Trent in midfield. God, I mean, that's worse things have happened there. And that would sort of maybe fill your Gini Wijnaldum hole. I mean, I kind of think there is a parallel universe where Trent Alexander-Arnold is the next Steven Gerrard stroke Kevin De Bruyne. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to be the next best midfielder in Europe, would it? And to buy, to give yourself some options. I'm not saying we wholesale move him, but if you spent your last big wedge of the summer, a big wedge, on a lad who could cover both fullbacks and allowed you to put Trent in midfield, would that be the craziest thinking this summer?
I just can't see it. You know, Rob, I mean, I know what you're driving at, and I think in terms
hard.
Of... Absolutely, you always do. And in terms of Lamptey, there's definitely a play there, and I know you mentioned the Inter Milan guy as well, and there's lots of talk about kind of his level and where he's going to end up in terms of, you know, how good he's going to be. So I think in terms of those two players, yes, they look like really, really good footballers. I just don't think Liverpool are going to be in a rush to move Trent into midfield. And it's hard to sit here and say what he'd be like, because, you know, you've never really seen him playing in midfield other than when he does play right-hand side, the positions he takes up are not those of a natural fullback, are they? You know, I think there's been those heat maps that were flying around where he often finds himself in Kevin De Bruyne-esque positions or Kevin De Bruyne-esque areas of the pitch where he influences football matches. And because he's so good at that fullback position, and he's better defensively than what a lot of people give him credit for, by the way. Don't get me wrong, there's certain things he still needs to work on in terms of his one-on-one defending, but on the cover, he's really good. And going forward in the supply line that he can produce for the forwards, I just wouldn't be in a rush to do it. But I could see why some people would want to start to explore the idea of moving Trent into midfield, because there's a shortage there in terms of numbers, and because he's a brilliant footballer, and because he started off as a young player. So I can understand the rationale. I just don't think the club are going to be looking to go big in terms of signing a right-back when they've got probably the best right-back in world football currently playing for them. It doesn't seem to make a great deal of sense. What I would say is, or certainly a great deal of sense right now in terms of where Trent is in his career, but I think they absolutely should be looking at a midfield option, Rob, because Robbo touched on something before where he says we're scarred by what happened last season. And of course, yes, there's an element of truth in that. But we're scarred for a reason, because we watched it unfold in front of our eyes when it all went to shit for months. And if you're telling me we're going to be going into a season with only, say, 7 midfielders and 2 of them are very injury prone, and there's another 2 or 3 that have had the fair share of injuries, I'd be massively concerned. I'd be hugely concerned. So the club can't be taking risks like they did last season. I know there's a money situation at stake here, and not everyone's going to have loads of money. But, and I know they're focusing on renewing contracts, to get all that. But at the same time, they can't leave themselves in a position where they are struggling and scratching around for players because they've not strengthened enough. So I think in terms of what I want to see, I don't want to see loads and loads of business this summer. I know you probably will, but I think there has to be some more than what we've seen already. So Canarsie's in the bank, fantastic. I think there has to be a midfielder coming in. There has to be. And then you've got to look at the forward line. And if they can sort that out, I'd be relatively happy. And if you had a bit more money, maybe you can go and do something at fullback and cover those areas as well. But if they can sort a midfielder and a forward out, that's pretty good business, as long as those two players have a certain standard.
I've got another wild idea. I'm going to pitch it your way, Harriet, so brace yourself. What if Klopp considers, and I don't think this is that mad, if to cope with different sort of injury situations or in the squad, he has a tactical option up his sleeve. Why can't we play 3-4-3 occasionally? And the reason I would pitch that is, one, we might, if we're lucky with the centre-back injuries, if we have the inverse of last season, all these lads come back fresh, and there's Matip feels good about himself, he's reborn, Gomez, Van Dijk, and suddenly you've got Konate. We've got quite a lot of really, really good centre-backs. It'd be a case for putting 3 of them on the pitch at any one time, especially if you had an injury to a Fabinho and you didn't have a normal number 6. But what I'm getting at really is it would give you the option of playing wing-backs. And wing-backs aren't quite the same as full-backs, not even our type of full-back. It gives you the option of playing midfielders in wide positions, people like Chamberlain. It gives you the option, you know, you might even say a Curtis Jones could play as a wing-back. I just wonder, do you see it as a thing that Klopp would consider breaking from the habit of maybe a lifetime and playing us 3 at the back on occasion next season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'd necessarily shut off all the options, but at the end of the day, I think that next season is going to be so much about sort of rebuilding the team that we had, not last season, but the season before, where obviously we were, you know, winning every game and we were trying to sort of, this season is going to be trying to be about getting back to that level, isn't it? And I think it would be a huge risk for him to just be like, okay, let's just completely use this summer to change up the formation that we're playing in and just go for it next season. I think if he did that, he'd, you know, it would be a bit risky as well, bringing, you know, Van Dijk back into that, Gomez back into that. They're trying to focus on their fitness and developing and being back to, you know, game match fitness and stuff like that. So I think that, I don't think that Klopp is going to seriously consider being like, okay, let's bring in different players with a view that they're going to change formation. I think that would just be a bit mad for him, to be honest. So, sorry, but...
I get your point, and my point's a deliberately wild one, just to sort of like, just spitball things around. But I just wonder we saw with Guardiola, he turned City's season around to a degree last season by having the mad idea of playing Ike Gundogan as a false nine. Is there a tactical switch in Klopp that him and Pep Linders and the gang go, do you know what, let's just do something to freak them all out. They've seen how we play. Everyone knows how we play. Let's just do something a bit radical. And in doing that, you know, it would affect what they did behind the scenes this summer. Do you think there's a radical move? Or do you think they'd rather consolidate and go, as you said, go back to what they know best?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because last season when we were sort of running out of attacking ideas and we weren't scoring very many goals, he did sort of switch up and play a bit of a 4-3-2-1, didn't he? And that didn't really work. It kind of threw the balance off. And then we went back to sort of what we knew and just tried to work through the problems that we had. So I think from that and last season, and like we've already said, we're a bit scarred from everything that happened last season and we can't just sort of look at everything with that head on. But I think it will be a case this season of him just wanting to sort of consolidate what he's got, think about the players he's got coming back. And actually, we don't actually probably need as many players as we all think we do, because, you know, like when we're talking about someone like Nico Williams, he's barely played any games. It's not like we're trying to fill a void that's, you know, he's played loads of games and we've got a player leaving that's, you know, done so much for us. I think it's all just got to our head a bit that we think we need, like we've already said, 4 players for every single position. When in reality, I think if we actually consider the players we've got coming back and the players that we've got sort of coming through, like Curtis Jones, we'll probably argue that he's already sort of made his come through, that we're probably going to be all right. And I think it's just a case of consolidating this summer and seeing where we're at in pre-season as well. And I think that's going to be a huge thing for Klopp and why he's probably not so keen to make so many moves so early in the in the window just because he wants to get everyone back at pre-season, see what state the players that are injured are in, see what state sort of the likes of Oxlade Chamberlain and Cater are in, and then seeing where he needs to make additions and sort of making signings accordingly.
Okay. Gareth, just staying with the defensive positions, putting another spanner in my works of Liverpool playing three at the back alongside Harriet is the news that's broken today that Nat Phillips is of great interest to Burnley and Brighton, and that Liverpool would sell at the right price, albeit a bit reluctantly, the report from Neil Jones says. 12 million fee touted. I mean, piqued my attention that Brighton were one of the names mentioned because of the links to Basuma. What do you make of the possibility of Nat moving on or swap deals related?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense to me. I think we talked about it a bit, haven't we, on various shows that, you know, his stock, I mentioned stock before with Nico Williams, well, Nat Phillips' stock is as high as it's ever going to be, really, after what he's done from Liverpool. He's gone from being a £4 million value player that was, you know, packing his boot ready to go to Swansea, to a lad who's got a loads of Premier League experience now under his belt, has done himself loads of favours, has punched above his ability, really, I would say, which is not, you know, meant to do him down, quite the opposite. So, you know, it's no surprise to me now that there are string of clubs interested in him. And you know, you mentioned Burnley and Brighton, but it's also meant to be Newcastle and Southampton already interested in him and put tentative inquiries in. So there seems to be a lot of interest in him. Liverpool are not going to be able to, you know, if it comes to the crunch and he goes to see Klopp and he says, well, listen, I've got all these offers on the table, I quite fancy the idea of going to play first team football on the regular in the Premier League. What can you promise me at Liverpool? Well, he's going to say, you know, you might get a sniff in the cup or you'll be waiting for people to get injured. I know people have got emotionally attached to him because of what he did. And I mentioned on something the other day that, you know, someone's tattooed themselves with Nat Phillips heading bricks, breaking a brick wall or something like that. Fair play. But, you know, I think he goes. And as you say, it is interesting that Brighton may be one because White looks to be on his way out, doesn't he? You know, Arsenal are having a sniff around him, albeit being quoted absolutely wild figures. And yet we are continually linked with Basuma. So, you know, could it be a make weight in a deal for him and that kind of thing? Well, I don't see him deciding to stay, to be honest. I just don't think it makes much sense. He's likely to get a better deal. He's likely to get more football elsewhere. And he, you know, Liverpool are just not going to be able to guarantee him what he wants because, you know, you've got Van Dijk, Gomez, Matip, you've got Konate, you know, all of these players stand in his way of playing in the first team. And realistically, you know, touch wood, we do not have the experience of last season, and that being the case, he's not going to play. So it would make a ton of sense for him to go.
Million. You know, I was the one a minute ago who was sort of imagining a world where Matip and Gomez and Van Dijk have all fully recovered and we're playing three at the back, Konate's in the mix as well. But there is a possibly more realistic scenario whereby two of the three comeback lads who've been out for a year are struggling. And we are still quite short at centre-back, that Konate plus one of the lads coming back are our main options. And Konate himself has been, you know, needs settling time, has had an injury in the past. You don't want to be in a situation where you haven't got a quality central defender on the bench. Is it a bit too soon for us to be letting Nat Phillips go? Isn't this a move, perhaps you see where we are in January rather than now?
I think there's, from a Liverpool perspective, Rob, I can see the sense in that, but I think because we know how this manager works, if Nat Phillips wants to go, because there's an opportunity there, I think Jürgen Klopp is more than likely going to give it the green light. And I think, you know, he did great for us towards the end of last season. You can't get away from that. I will always come back to the fact that I don't think he's quite the level you're looking for. Saying that, if he was your fifth choice, you could probably get on board with it. But if you're him, is fifth choice enough? I mean, you're 24 years of age. You're probably on a very, very low contract compared to your peers. And this is an opportunity to go make some money and play regular or semi-regular first team football with another Premier League club. If he hangs on another 3 or 4 months, you know, he can quickly forgotten about in football. And I just think for him and for his journey, it makes all the sense in the world for him to go and find a club where he's got a really good chance of playing more often than not. And it's a balancing act, Rob, because you rightly say, you know, there's no guarantees. how Van Dijk, Matip and Gomez come back. And, you know, you've really got to look at City and Laporte. You know, when he came back from his injury, from his long-term knee injury, and I know all the injuries are different, I'm not trying to make a direct comparison, but he has those setbacks. But you see it with a lot of footballers who've had severe knee injuries. You can rush them back or they get niggles elsewhere because they're overcompensating. And I'm not a sports science specialist or anything like that. But I just think you've seen enough footballers come back from long-term injuries before where it's gone a little bit wrong for them. So they have got to be mindful of it. And I think, you know, what do they do with Williams, for instance? I think they're probably going to let him go out on loan, would be my guess, and let him develop as well. So there's definitely a case. If you're letting that Phillips go, there's definitely a case for doing one more. Because, as I said before, one thing the club can't afford to do is not learn from mistakes. So if they're in a scenario, again, where they're short on centre-half next season, they will rightly get absolutely annihilated for it because you just can't allow it to happen. So they have to be confident in where Van Dijk and where Gomez and where Matip are in their journey. And we don't know that. We haven't got any of that science stuff in front of us. So it's hard for us to make the call sitting here right now, but they will know that. They'll have all the data. They'll know how well and how far down that path they are in terms of the road to recovery. It's great that Van Dijk decided to stay here and continues recovery, which makes you think, you know, is he close? You know, could he have maybe pushed himself and gone to the Euros? It would have felt like a wild thing to do, but you could understand the temptation from his point of view, being the captain. So these are the things they're going to have to juggle. But I think if you're erring on the side of caution, if Phillips is going out the door, then maybe there's a requirement to do one more. The other thing is the Ben Davis thing as well. I mean, fuck knows where he is, but he might not be shit. Yeah, exactly. And he might get a shout as backup. You know, if he's come in and they've just wanted to work with him for 6 months to get him up to a level, and I don't know what that level is because I've never seen him play, but maybe the club feel like he could do a job as your fifth option. I don't know, but I think it would make me a little bit nervous if they're letting another centre-half go and not knowing where the other lads are in terms of their journey, but the club will know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the midfielder section of the show. I want to start with reading out something from James Pearce at The Athletic this week, which I think was a really interesting overview of where he understands Liverpool are up to with their transfer situation as regards the middle of the park positions. I'm going to quote James. He said, "Senior Anfield sources insist they aren't currently in the market for a midfielder." That's disappointing, James. "They point to the fact that Fabinho will be a permanent fixture in that department next season after his lengthy stint at centre-back in 2021. And then there is Henderson's return to fitness after a groin injury. Thiago is expected to play a much bigger role after becoming a difficult start in English football, to excel during the run-in when he was crucial in propelling Klopp's men to a third-place finish. Academy graduate Curtis Jones is also guaranteed more minutes. The smart money suggests that the stance will change later in the window when the financial landscape is clearer. Links with Leicester's Yuri Tielemans, Brighton's Yves Bissouma persist. Florian Neuhaus, Orosiemen, and Gladbach is a more realistic target." That's interesting, Gareth, that James is saying Liverpool are putting out the line that they're not in for a midfielder. James, there's a bit of a change here from the journalists I'm seeing this summer. They're sort of hinting that Liverpool are saying this, we don't believe it. That's the tone of this, I think.
Yeah, because there was a change, wasn't there? I think after we as in Liverpool, we messed up on Van Dijk and Southampton saw their arse about it, and we have to pay more money and wait for him to come, as well as get reported and all the other nonsense, and have to go through the rigmarole of public apologies on the website and all that kind of bollocks. I think after that, there was a conscious decision from Liverpool to just go, we don't need to fucking play this game. And they don't. Like, you know, this isn't court reporting. This isn't like Watergate. It's footy. And like, Liverpool don't have to tell anyone anything. They don't have to be honest. They don't have to give statements. You know, senior Anfield sources can say what the fuck they want, and then tomorrow they can go and buy someone. And when people go, "But you said," they can go, "So fucking what?" You know, I've always found it funny that journalists like think, you know, that, you know, they should get the truth out of anyone in football. Why? Who says they've got to be truthful? Where's the rule? Like, I remember, you know, being like, once upon a time I was going in some of the press conferences on the regular. I remember like one blade who said to Rafa, like, "Well, you said on Thursday he was injured," and like whoever it was had played. And Rafa was like, "Things change." And you know, and it's the same. It's the same with transfers, isn't it? Like, you know, so I think what James says is right. I think everyone, you always have this thing in the transfer window where everyone sort of waits what to see what everyone else is doing. And of course, us as fans, we would always say, I want everything done, and I want everything done now, and I want all the new signings to be ready for straight after the Euros, train with the teammates, play whatever pre-season games we're going to play, and be ready to go on a beautiful day in August when we kick off the new season. But, you know, life doesn't pan out like that. So I think everyone will be looking to see what everyone else is doing. The relative values of our players will be going up and down based on what they're doing in the Euros. So mention Nico's stock's high. You would have to say Shaqiri's stock's higher than what it was previously after he scored a couple of belters. You know, things like that, you know, that will maybe put him in some manager's mind somewhere where previously he wasn't in their mind. So Liverpool now will be able to say, well, we want a bit more from him. And look, perhaps Liverpool have their eyes on an amount that they want in this summer. And we don't know what that is. But, you know, they're like, this is what we're planning to spend, but this is also what we want to recoup from somewhere. So who is that from somewhere going to be? It could be Nico, but it could be Origi. It could be Shaqiri, but it could be Harry Wilson. You know, whatever. They might have their eye on a figure. So there are lots of dominoes to fall, I think, in the transfer window. And I think at the moment, Liverpool are just saying, look, we're not doing anything now. And loads of our targets as well, it all seems to be, well, hang on until the Euros are done, wait till the Euros is finished. And in a way, it's daft, isn't it? Because, you know, even when they're at the Euros, every player, agent and manager has still got loads of spare time because there's only so many gym sessions you can do in a day. And, you know, there's only so many matches you play. And you can take a phone call and decide whether you fancy the move or not. But there does seem to be like this stock line of no, we're all going to wait. We're all just going to see what happens with the Euros. And you know what? Perhaps some of them are just having a bit of a break as well. I mean, managers and agents have got to tan their arms and face a little bit as well, even if you can't really go anywhere. Even if they might just be sitting out in the back with a bevy and don't fancy taking any calls for a bit, just playing Snake on the Nokia for a couple of weeks, and then they'll get back at it. But yeah, I think we do something. I think Neuhaus is the one that's still jumping out to me as one we really, really do look like we're doing. Lots of people talking about it. Klopp doing the little winks and, you know, just sort of suggesting there's something there as well. The player doing the same. More and more people coming out saying he suits and he's this and that. And more dickheads like me who've watched more and more YouTubes of him going, yeah, looks great. Get him in. Boss.
Did Klopp do what are you telling me? I haven't heard Klopp doing any work.
Klopp said something about him, hasn't he, at some point? I'm sure he has. I'm sure I've read that. Not recently, ever. And so obviously, like, the internet brings that back to the fore and says, yeah, once he said he was sound, so, you know, that'll do. That means he must want to buy him. I'm sure I might be making that up, even if I am. So what? Don't spoil my story.
It's 100% true, and happy. Because let's just say recently.
I'm banging to the Neuhaus. I keep saying this every time I do a gutter, but I am. I'm not just saying it because he's like up there. I've watched loads of YouTube now. I'm getting into the shit music, and I think he's the man. He looks good, and he's a good price as well. I mean, I know we're going to run through various players. If you look where they are in terms of where the contracts are, in terms of what their club's value and at the mat and things like that. I think with Neuhaus. He looks like a good price as well as a good player.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about the sort of nailed onness that's becoming with Neuhaus. I'm beginning to wonder if there's misdirection there. And the fact that there was, do you know, if you ask me to do a little cheeky bet, Harriet, who I'd bet on being the midfielder, I'm going to say it's Bissouma. Because Fabrizio Romano thinks so too, because he put Bissouma in his predicted Liverpool team for next season. Fabrizio, he knows stuff. And just because Liverpool have poured cold water on Bissouma, but it's a link that won't quite die. I just wonder if they're hanging it out there that it's all Neuhaus just to misdirect us all away from the fact that it's Yves Bissouma. Where's your money?
You think it's all just fun and games? They're all just tricking each other. I mean, it sounds about right.
It was like Jamal Lewis last season. I was getting my Jamal Lewis kit printed up, and there was Tsimikas days later.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously a mistake.
I don't think Liverpool are sort of laying on how much they need to sell a few of the fringe players before they kind of bring someone else in. I think the Bissouma link's interesting in that he's more of a sort of defensively minded midfielder to the others we've been linked with. Obviously, Neuhaus is a bit more of a sort of creative spark and someone that would, you know, be a bit more offensively minded than even Ginny was and stuff. So I like the Neuhaus link in that I read today that he didn't miss a game through injury for the last three seasons. And that sounds like exactly what we need in the team. So I like that. But yeah, the Bissouma's link's interesting, but I just don't think Brighton are going to want to sell him. If they do sell him, I think they're going to want quite a high price tag for him. I read sort of around the 40 mil mark is what's quite realistic. And he's got a couple of years left in his contract. So I guess it's up to them at Brighton to make a call now, whether they want to sort of cash out and get the money for him while they can or keep him a while longer. But I think, you know, he's well suited to playing in a sort of three-man midfield and he keeps possession of the ball well. But I think for that price tag, I think they might want to go for someone like Neuhaus who they can sort of, you know, depend on a bit more and be a bit more creatively minded than he is. But I mean, yeah, I think to be honest, the links with Neuhaus are still a little bit stronger than they are with Bissouma, but only time will tell.
Yeah, and we're going to do some more Neuhaus chat in Thursday's edition. And I also want to go back to Tielemans on Thursday. I don't want to do Tielemans today. Do you know who I want to do, Ian? I'm going to make you talk about because it was one that fascinated me. The Sunday Post in Scotland linked us to Aston Villa midfielder John McGinn on Sunday. They're saying he's valued around 20 mil. I don't watch a lot of Villa, but when I see him, he seems to be doing bits, like scoring against us. What do you think of that? What do you think of him? What do you think of that link?
I quite like John McGinn as a player, I have to say. I think he's a decent footballer. I don't know whether he's quite the level you'd want in an ideal world, to be honest, but maybe I've not seen enough of him to know with absolute certainty. But the bits I have seen, Rob, he's always impressed me. I mean, you referenced the game against us. So he plays in the 7-2. He scores in the 7-2. Mm-hmm. He struck up a really good balance with Douglas Luiz in that midfield. And obviously, they had the likes of Barkley and Grealish in front of them. So every time I've seen him play, he's got a lovely left foot. He just looks like he gets about the pitch loads. He is box to box, or he can be box to box. I think the similarities in terms of where him and at Neuhaus have played. So they both tend to, or they have operated a lot in a 4-2-3-1. And I don't like the new terminology, but they call it a double pivot, don't they? And they've both played left-hand side in a pivot. So I think maybe that's where they're looking at players who are playing in similar roles, but both can do a lot more than that. So I know you're going to talk about Neuhaus on Thursday, but I think it's his passing that impresses everyone because he can get forward, he can pass between the lines. He's got a good range of passing. And I think with McGinn, it's maybe, certainly from an international point of view, it's maybe his eye for a goal. So I think he's 10 and 35 for his country. Now that might be because, wow. Yeah, which is not bad at all, but it might be because maybe the level of opposition, because when you look at his club football, I think he's more like 12 and 100 for Villa. So there's a bit of a difference. But it might be because he's getting played in slightly different positions as well. So maybe he's got a little bit more license to go forward when he's playing for his national team. He is one of the better players. So I like him as a footballer. I think he could add a lot. You know, maybe you don't see him come in and start football matches for Liverpool if he were to pull the trigger. But I certainly think in terms of adding something, you're getting a decent footballer. I think there was a concern over his injury as well. So we had a fairly significant injury, probably around about 2019 now, which I think he took a bit of a while getting over. But I think in terms of what he adds to the Villa squad, there's loads. I think when he came back, Grealish was like, he talked about him loads in terms of what he adds, not on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. And we know when Liverpool are doing the due diligence, it's not just about what they offer on the pitch. It's about, are they a good lad? You know, what are they like in battle? All that kind of stuff. And everything you heard about John McGinn tells you that he is that kind of person that you'd want to go into battle with him because he's full throttle. And as I say, yeah, if it ends up kind of coming to fruition, that one, I don't think many would be disappointed if they thought he was just there to kind of add a little bit of squad depth, especially for the money.
He's 26, Gareth, John McGinn. I mean, there's a part of me that could talk myself into the fact that he's a fit for Liverpool for Klopp. You know, that he's Premier League, he's Premier League ready. He's got an energy level about him that suggests he might be a Liverpool midfielder. You know, Liverpool haven't necessarily looked for artists in the middle of the park. I'm not saying John McGinn isn't a reasonable technical player. What do you think? I mean, is the age prohibitive at 26? Do Liverpool want slightly more of a project, at least 2 to 3 years younger than that? I mean, what do you think? Again, the same question. What do you think of him as a player or as a prospective signing?
Yeah, I like him as well. I like the idea of a fiery Scot in midfield. Are you surprised by that statement? I think as well that, you know, people can get really complicated about why things might work and why we might get a player. Look, it might be as simple as this one, as that, you know, we've literally got Andy Robbo knocking around with him at a summer tournament. If we want to get a message to him, if we want to bend his ear that, you know, if the time is right for him to come to Anfield, then that's easily done, because we know that Andy Robbo is sort of well liked by the manager, you know, a prospective member of this elite leadership squad, team, whatever you want to call it, within Liverpool. So that would be easy enough to happen. I've got to say, though, when that report, it says they value him at 20 million. That seems incredibly cheap for a lad who played in 37 of their 38 games in the league last season. So I'd be surprised if it's that. It would seem more, you know, more, maybe double that, I would suggest, what Aston Villa may be asking for him. But perhaps it is the one where, you know, you look at some of the alternatives. You know, I was looking before on some of the stats sites, and we know how, you know, they compare players, and, you know, you get pretty patterns telling you, you know, what type of player they are and all the rest. But when I was looking at McGinn's, you know, it was actually comparing them a little bit, the stats site, not me, to Tielemans. And obviously, Tielemans is one we're being linked to. But, you know, if we got him or we went for him seriously, you know, there's talk of £70 million and stuff like that around Tielemans. Well, if McGinn's anywhere near £20 million, you can see why that might jump out as something that Liverpool want to do, depending on what business they're looking to do elsewhere. I mean, you know, across all the reports that I'm sure you've read as well, Rob, you know, it seems like Liverpool are basically saying no to everything currently. No, we don't want another forward either. That's bollocks. Yeah, we definitely don't want another forward. We've got a forward. We've got a front three. No, we don't want a midfielder. No, we're signed with backups at fullback. No, we don't want to, you know, it's like, no, they don't want anyone. Bullshit. They're going to buy someone, and they're going to probably buy a couple of people, at least I would suspect. So it's, you know, what happens? Where do the cards fall? Who can they get and who can't they get? Who else is in for certain players? So I wouldn't be surprised if McGinn's on a list. Whether he's any kind of priority is a different conversation. But I certainly wouldn't mind seeing him at Liverpool. I could see him fitting in. I think his style is very Klopp. His style is very us as well. I mean, we talk about us being, you know, wanting certain things from Liverpool players and wanting like a certain style of play and all this kind of stuff. But let's be honest, like, the Anfield crowd loves a lad that works his ass off, gets stuck in, will keep going, gets his head down. And I think, you know, that's what McGinn is. You know, same as you, Rob, I'm not begrudging his quality. He's got quality as well. He's more than that. But I think, you know, that attitude, that spirit, that bit of Scotsman in him, if you like, is going to appeal to Anfield and is going to appeal to Klopp. So I could see him in a red shirt. I just wonder what actual price Aston Villa would be wanting for him. 3 goals and 5 assists as well, I noticed last season, which isn't massive, but suggests that there's something there in terms of, you know, he could win you the odd game as well from midfield, which would be no bad thing, because how long have we been having that conversation about we've got too many midfielders that don't create or can't score or whatever. I know we've got Thiago now, but another lad who can do a little bit of that as well would be no bad thing.
Yeah, Harry, I'm intrigued by it. I mean, a lot of when it was first touted, this link on Sunday, you know, a lot of people in the Liverpool universe were pouring scorn on it, because it's not a sexy name to be associated with. But the price is the price point is perhaps the interesting one. Whether it's 20 or 28, or I don't think it's going to be much more than that if he's to go, just because he just doesn't have the profile of players who cost more than that. But you could see this one. You could see Klopp and this. You could see him. Like, we might be totally wide of the mark. It might be a bullshit rumour. But you could also see in the universe, I think it's Gareth hinted out there, that he could be one of those things that the stats boffin. So it's the computer has thrown his name out against all the odds. You know, do you know who does all the things we want? John the fucking Ginn. I could see it. And it also could be one where you go, and it leaves us a bit more money in the piggy bank for a slightly more expensive forward. You know, we've also had Liverpool with Patson Daka for 20 million, Daniel Marlon for maybe 25. Maybe if you go cheaper on a midfielder who fulfills the things you want him to do, and the stats aren't lying about it, you can spend more on a forward. I don't know. I'm saying I don't think this is a mad rumour at all.
Yeah, I reckon the rumours just come from when they play table tennis on Robertson's Instagram and everyone thinks this is a good... No, I'm joking. But seriously, I think so. I think it was him. But anyway, I think it's an...
He's deleted it now because they're all pretending they haven't got COVID. Good, so they can have a game of horse yarn.
There you go. Sorry, Robertson. I think it's an interesting one, but the reports I have read are saying that they would want sort of upwards of 40 million for him, which I think is a little bit mad. So yeah. I think in essence, the work rate, you know, we all know Klopp likes a player that works really hard, and I think that he'd bring a you know good work rate to the team. And like the guys have already said, he's a sort of player that would sort of just, you know, slot in quite easily. He's got Premier League experience. He's being tipped as a bit of a replacement for Milner in the future as Milner gets a bit older. But I think at that sort of price point, it just kind of depends, because I don't think they're going to be wanting to you know, spend anywhere near 40 million on him. And that if that's what Villa want, then he's just going to be sort of, it's going to be squashed before it even starts, I guess. So there's, you know, he's not like a name that makes me feel really excited, I'm not going to lie, but he might be quite a reliable option to bring in and a good person just to have around the squad. Because like we said, he seems like quite a good guy, and I liked him when he came into the press conference and did the Coke joke, which is really annoying. So there you go.
Yeah, he's got a boss little backstory as well. You know, like the way like so many of our players seem to have a little story where they've sort of overcome a little bit of adversity, and we all like that. You know, he mentioned the due diligence before. Well, he's got a good one in his locker again about when he was at St Mirren in 2015. Someone lashed a spiked training pole. Not Adam, just generally fucking about in training. It went 7 centimetres into his leg.
Fuck.
And was meant to be, you know, a bit of a bad one, obviously, when something with a big spike goes 7 centimetres into your leg. And yet he's bounced back. And here he is now in the Premier League. And Villa, by the way, only bought him for, I think, £2.5 million in 2018. So we're all sort of saying, don't know about what his price would be now. I mean, if Villa did sell him for the 20 million mark ish, and they can say, well, we only paid £2.5 million. We've made a healthy profit on him. We couldn't stand in his way when he wanted to go to Liverpool. You know what I mean? You could see there's always a PR side to transfers both ways, isn't there? Like, how do Villa sell like someone who looks to be quite popular with their fans? Well, there's your sell. Do you know what I mean? He was only that anyway, and we couldn't stand in his way. He wanted to go and play with his table tennis mate at Anfield. Soz, we've bought this fella now, and you're going to all pretend to love him now instead.
Rob, I had a little look at his contract there, and I assumed, yeah, because you'd said 20 odd million quid, he must have had a contract that was due to run out, because that seemed quite low. But 2025, so it feels unlikely you'd get him for around about the £20 million mark, given it's another 3.5 years.
Going for 40 though, you couldn't see him going for 40. I just don't see. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You just don't see. Maybe it's just because of the. You just don't. There's no glamour associated, I suppose, with home country.
I mean, one of the tweets we got, I think me and you both got it, Rob. One of the tweets about him we got over the weekend was saying about Scott seemed to be undervalued. I mean, I haven't researched that. Do you know what I mean? I'm just taking that as read. It's that time of year. But you know, if there's some value in. If there's some value in the Scottish market, I mean, you know, Liverpool have got a rich history of good Scots. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I know everyone's got the French market's got good value in, but that's a shite league as well. So, I'm very into buying players, Gareth, with backstories, like especially related to injuries, because on that basis, I might get a game in Liverpool's midfield. You know, I've fallen off ladders, blunt instruments going into me.
Court pigeons,
yeah, I tell you what. That gutman, oh, his story, what the struggles he's had to come through to play for Liverpool at the tender age of 50 fucking four. And on that bombshell, we will wrap. We will see you all again Thursday. Thanks, Harriet. Thanks, Ian. And thanks, Gareth. Thursday. I think we have more Neuhaus chat.